produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Grace, peace, joy, faith, love, Dr. V.
Welcome. Thank you so much for the applause. I am Dr. V, the host of Love Your Making. This is December in the year of our Lord 2022. This is the last show of the year. I am so grateful to have had 12 opportunities this year to be before you, to lend a voice to leaders, have a sage cup conversation, leader to leader, where I encourage you to consider a God-centered perspective of life, love, and leadership. And today, our last episode, we're going to talk about the thrilling life. One of my favorite blues singers, B.B. King, sung this song, and he asked the question, well, he made the statement, rather, the thrill is gone. And so I'm going to ask you as leaders, is the thrill gone? And so after I describe to you what the thrilling life might look like, you might answer that question honestly, right? So listen, grab your Bibles real quick. I'm going to begin to pray. We're going to move into this episode, the last one I said of the year. And I'm so grateful again to be here with you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you, Father. We magnify your name this day. We thank you for being so good to us, so merciful. We thank you for finding our way. We thank you for our producers, and we thank you for our sponsors. We thank you for the personage of Josie in Hopkins of Josie's Inspiration, which is why we're here by invitation. And I thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Spirit that flows through me each time we come to do this, the Love You're Making broadcast. And finally, I thank you for all the listeners, the faithful listeners all around the world, at least in 68 countries I last heard, that listen to us faithfully and support us. And Father God, most of all, that they hear your voice, that they feel the hovering of the Holy Spirit over their lives, that they're being led in faithful directions, oh God, into the very center of your heart. Father, we know that we can do nothing well without you, and we choose not to do that. And so we thank you that you're with us. Your presence we feel, not just on the broadcast, but as we go through this life. And we are every day being encouraged to love our making, our shaping, our molding. Lord, we are becoming new in you, and what a beautiful act of love that is. Thank you, Lord God, for keeping your hands on us, your eyes on us, and your spirit within us. We have so much to be grateful for in this season, so much to be thankful for. But we thank you again for this broadcast. We ask that the Holy Spirit open up our ears, our hearts, our spirits, so that we might hear what you're saying to us today, your church, your leaders. And it's in your Son Jesus' name that we praise you. And we praise you again, and we praise you again. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, great. Hope you grab your Bibles. We're going to be a little bit all over the place today, but we hopefully will bring it to a place of synergy for you and synchronicity for you, and you'll get the message. Let's just start with Chronicles. Let's just start with Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, verse 5. And 17, which says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, Dr. V, you said you wanted to talk to us about the thrilling life. I am. And I thank you that you're going to press in to hear what the Spirit is saying. The thrilling life has a lot to do with our full awareness that every day we have an opportunity to become newer and newer and newer in Christ Jesus. As Christ, what? Is being formed in us. We become that new creature, that leader that he can press into and depend on to do his will. He left us in Matthew's the 28th chapter some work to do. He gave us a job description that says, go ye into all the world and teach them everything that I've taught you. And then he gave us this assurance that lo, he will what? Be with us always. And so for us to be the greatest leaders that we desire to be, for us to have the God-centered perspective of life, love, and leadership, we have to maintain that thrilling life in Christ, that rejoicing of the newness we have in Christ Jesus each and every day. So I have two object lessons that I want us to focus on today. One of them is from a book that I used as I was a chaplain for a number of years called Walking with Jesus. Is the morning and evening devotional. It's a daily encouragement for life's ups and downs. And it is written by Marie Champagne. Marie Champagne, the C-H-A-P-I-A-N, should you choose to look it that up, and produced by Broad Street Press. Okay, listen. In the middle of the book, probably on page, here it is, on page 290-291, the title of the devotional is Thrilling Life. And the devotional is laid out like this. His words to me, and then it responds by my words to him. And so here, listen to me closely. Listen to these words because they're going to mean something toward the end. All right? Thrilling Life. Don't be too hungry for the world's adventure. For easy affection, for tasty morsels that vanish in the morning sun, the pursuits for temporary pleasures will entrap you and you'll squirm and kick to get free. But the chains of bondage are crushing. Come to me for a thrilling life, for adventure beyond the world's offerings. Listen to me, and you'll live in divine affection, embraced in the security of my love. In me, you're a new creation.
You're delivered from old sins and so-called fun habits that were out to shatter you. You have a new life now and a new hope. You have an eternal, exciting life in me. I planted you securely in my heart and my arms. Ah, that's his words to me. Now, the writer says, my words to him. Thank you, Lord, for the thrilling life you offered to those who love you. Thank you for removing my hunger for temporary adventure and easy affection. Thank you for setting me free from the chasing after tasty morsels that vanish in the morning light. Thank you, Jesus, for delivering me from the pursuits of temporary pleasures that entrap, chain, and crush the soul. I love being secure in your love and your purposes. In you, I am a new person. I'm delivered from old sins and habits that would have, sooner or later, destroyed me. I have a new life now and a new hope. I have eternal, exciting life in you because I'm planted in your heart and in your arms. Thank you. Oh, thank you. I love that response. And again, the motivating scripture was what I'd read earlier, and I read it again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And you might say, well, Dr. V, listen, come on now. That is so elementary as a Christian. Why are you reminding sage leaders that they are new in Christ Jesus? I'm reminding you, leaders, because don't be set up by the enemy to think that because you, like myself, may have been ministering over 30 years, me 35 plus, pushing 40, that you don't still need to hunger and thirst and rejoice and be grateful and thankful that every day you have an opportunity to become newer and newer and newer in Christ Jesus, that you have an opportunity to get deeper and deeper and deeper into the life of what it's like to live your life and have the mind of Christ and walk in that Christ-mindedness and walk in that same kind of Christ-sacrificing love. At that you might even have an opportunity every day to grow in grace, grow in mercy, grow in wisdom, grow in love, grow in patience, grow in what? Anything else that the Lord brings to heart and to mind and to spirit. And that is something for you to rejoice about. We talked about sometimes God daily loading us up with benefits. Well, what do you think those benefits are? They're not about houses and cars and land, which is that's okay. Great. It makes us have a comfy life. I got that. But God is so concerned about the inner truth in man that he says, I desire inner truth in man. I desire that my children walk in the truth. I desire that my children know the truth. And so you as leaders must never settle for a seminary degree, a Bible college degree, thousands and thousands of sermons preached, you know, by yourself, people hanging all the chandeliers because you've hooped and preached it and taught it well. And you yourself, Paul says, far be it for me to preach this gospel. And what I myself be a castaway. So I am concerned that we as leaders never get to the place that the thrill is gone about our salvation in God, that our salvation is important. Jesus told his disciples when they went, he sent them out two by two. And they did great miracles and they just amazing things, astonishing things. And they came back and they reported that to Jesus. And Jesus' response to them is, just be happy. Come on now. Just be happy that your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. For leaders, I challenge you today, sage leaders, to never think your salvation be dull. I got it. I've got enough. But that you will never, ever settle for complacency in the realm of salvation, personal salvation, that you will be thrilled every day that you are saved. I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 12. I've been meditating on that for myself earlier this week and all the way actually to the end of this week. And I'm going to read it again to you. It's Isaiah 12 chapter 2. And I didn't know if I was going to include this in the teaching today, but the Holy Spirit just prompted me. And so I'm going to share that with you as a part of our supporting scripture. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength." Hey, glory to God. "And my song. He is become my salvation." And the Lord had me to focus on that. He is become my salvation. The word is a present tense. It's not a past tense. He was my salvation. No, he is my salvation. It is an active now present relationship with the loving Father who's full of grace and who's full of mercy, whose love is unfaithful. He's a faithful God. He's a mighty God. He's a wonderful counselor. He is an everlasting Father. He is our Prince of Peace. He's all of that. Be thrilled about that and the life you have in him. A thrilling life. Never let your testimony be dull. Oh, I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, no, I serve a live God, a living God. I am grateful for this very breath that I'm taking. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. So it reminded me of the song that we in America sing this time of the year. And I hadn't heard it in a minute, but I'm going to turn on my YouTube shortly and just let the song ring inside my home. Joy to the world. I'm going to remind you of some of the words of those who may know it and those who don't know it. I'm going to tell you. Joy to the world. The Lord is that word is that two-letter word is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Come on now. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Second chorus. Joy to the world. The Savior reigns. Not did reign, but reigns, like present tense, right? Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. In other words, nature, even is resounding and glad and made joyful and making a joyful sound to the Lord, for he is come. And then the next one says this. Now, listen, he's the king. All right. He is the king. We're preparing room for him in our hearts. He's reigning there. He rules the world how? With truth and grace. And he makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness. And listen, you know, I love this part. And wonders of his love. And wonders of his love. And wonders of his love. Joy. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. The writer says in Isaiah, verse 12, part B, "For Jehovah, Lord God, is my strength and my song," S-O-N-G. "He also is become my salvation." My salvation. Listen, like B.B. King stated, the thrill is gone. I hope that is not your testimony. I hope you to say, listen, I am having a thrilling life in Christ Jesus. I'm having a thrilling life in God. And why should we rejoice about that? Why should we want to be clear that every day we have an opportunity to experience this thrilling life? Because if not, we'll wonder and we will become lackadaisical and dull in that life and begin to fall back into the ways that easily beset us. Like the scripture says, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us. You know, here in America, we've had opportunity to watch the life and the testimony of, very high profile leaders in the church. Let's talk about the church now, because judgment will first come to what? The church. Leaders who have been taken away by a fault. The Bible says, when we're drawn away of our own lust. So they were drawn away, you know, to do things that were unseemly, contrary to the word of God, far from the commandments and far from, they, you know, accused of covetousness, extramarital affairs, you know, just things that were just not pleasing to God. And so how could this happen? How could this be? The world will quickly go and condemn us because we say, well, this so-called preacher, this so-called pastor, I knew that they weren't about nothing. I knew that. You know what? We are about something in Christ. We are. But do we have to remain thrilled about our life in Christ in order to not be so easily beset by the sins of life? Yes, we do. You know, yes, we do. David, who was a man after God's own heart, he was a worshiper, but he was what? Easily beset by the sins of life. He was easily beset. And so when he came to himself and realized, he said, Lord, you know, I need you to search me. Yes, search me. And if there's any wicked way you find in me, purge me with hyssop. Clean me up. How often do we go as leaders, even now, and say, God, you know what? If I don't lean and depend on you, if I don't remain thrilled with my life in you, I'm going to easily be beset with sin. I'm going to easily be drawn away. I'm going to easily forget how wonderful and how joyous it is that you rule and you reign in my life, that you are Lord of my life. I'm going to forget that, and I'm going to slide away. I'm going to slip into darkness. And who wants to do that as a leader? No, we don't. We don't want our testimony to be tainted with the sins that easily beset us. So I'm going to go back to the thrilling life and read it again and see if you find yourself in there. And if you do, it's good time for us to fix it. Listen, get your thrill back on. Get your joy back on. Sing joy to the world. The Lord is coming to my life. The kingdom of God is inside of me. Here, the Lord is saying to the writer, don't be too hungry for the world's adventure, for easy affection, for tasty morsels that vanish in the morning sun. The pursuits for temporary pleasures will entrap you, and you'll squirm and kick to get free. But the chains of bondage are crushing. Come to me for a thrilling life, for adventure beyond the world's offering. Listen to me, and you'll live in divine affection, embracing the security of my love. In me, you're a new creation. You're delivered from old sins and so-called fun habits that were out to shatter you. You know how we say he comes to kill, steal, and destroy? Of course, he's still on his job, the enemy of our soul, right? And he goes on to say, you have a new life now and a new hope. You have an eternal, exciting life in me. I planted you securely in my heart and my arms. And let's say with the writer, our response, my words to him, thank you, Lord, for the thrilling life you offer to those who love you. And Lord, we do love you. Thank you for removing my hunger for temporary adventure and easy affection. Thank you for setting me free from chasing after tasty morsels that vanish in the morning light. Thank you, Jesus, for delivering me from the pursuits of temporary pleasures that entrap, chain, and crush the soul. I love being secure in you and in your love and your purposes. In you, I'm a new person. I'm delivered from old sins and habits that would have sooner or later destroyed me. I have a new life now and a new hope. I have an eternal and an exciting life in you because I'm planted in your heart and in your arms. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Wow. I thought I would bring that to you today. I hope you got something from it. I hope you felt the admonishment, the encouragement, the exhortation, Lord God, to be joyful in your salvation. Let it be a present, a now, a is salvation, which means that it has all the thrills and excitement that you need in Christ, that you don't have to go outside of Christ as a leader to have fine pleasure. That, you know what? He rules the world with truth and grace, and he makes the nation prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. I want you to remember, if you don't remember anything else, says Legler, that God's love is wondrous. It's wonderful. It has great wonders inside of it. Bask in his love. Enjoy his love. Be renewed and refreshed in his love. Remind yourself and remind those that you love that a life in Christ is a thrilling life. It's a joyful life. It's a peaceful life. It's an enduring life. It's an eternal life. Rejoice in the Lord. Joy to the world that you can celebrate the Christ, the King, him coming and remaining ruler in your heart and in your life. This has been Dr. V. You've listened to Love Your Making. And this is our last, again, episode for the year of our Lord 2022. I look forward to ministering with you and for you and in Christ in the year of our Lord coming 2023. And again, I want to remind you to remind yourself that you have a thrilling life in him. Father, we just thank you for this word that you gave us today. We thank you, Lord God, that we delight in you. The word says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And we're going to taste a whole lot of beautiful things in this season, great food. But we want a taste of the salvation and wallow in that salvation, be festive and feasted by the salvation that is present in our lives, that thrills our lives each and every day. Thank you, Father, for that kind of wondrous love we have in you. In Jesus' name, we praise you and pray. Amen.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, hello. This is Vanita DeReeve with Create Your Own You. And as I always say, be you and not be you and just you. And don't let other people expect you to be someone else. You have to always be true to yourself at all times. Remember, people are always going to suggest something that they think is best for your life. But as a person and as an individual, you know yourself, so you know what's best for you and your family. So today, I have my sister on the line, Mrs. Sadil Tanae Lloyd. Hey.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you?
I'm doing extremely well, extremely well. So as everybody knows, this month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So I had the opportunity to talk with my sister who was diagnosed with breast cancer about a year and a half ago, a little over a year and a half, right?
Yeah, actually it was around February of last year, of 2018. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Okay, so, and as everybody recall, my last segment, I did a topic of domestic violence with Regina Keenan. And with speaking on domestic violence, I'm going to just touch back on that briefly because I want people to understand how serious domestic violence is. And if you're in that situation and you feel like you don't have no one to go to, there is always somebody to reach out to, whether that's a church, whether it's a shelter, whether it's an aunt or uncle. Because a lot of, I know it's like a secretive thing and you don't want your family members to know that you are being hit on or abused at home, whether that's male or female, because it happens more often with females, but the men are increasing being verbally abused and beaten by women too. So the message from that last series that we had, we just wanted to, you know, make sure people are aware that they can get help and that there is an opportunity to continue your life after getting out your domestic violence situation. Every day you're above ground and breathing, you have an opportunity to live your best life. So we're going to get into this week's, we are going to get into the breast cancer awareness. Everybody knows, especially in the U.S., I know this is worldwide, but I'm pretty sure Breast Cancer Awareness Month is in October. And also in October, like I said, we have Domestic Violence Month, we have Bully Awareness, we have Mental Health Month, Awareness Month. So there's a lot of awareness going on in October. And we want to make sure people understand and where to reach out to get the help that they may need for any of those situations. If you don't know where to seek help from, just, you know, get online and just Google something in your area and see what is in your area to get assistance to help you with your situation that you are going through. So, Miss Deal, how you doing? How's everything?
I'm doing really, really well today. I hope you are.
I am doing good. I am doing good here. So like you were saying before, you were diagnosed back in February of 18. And as I was doing my research, you know, I did some research just before I started, you know, when I reached out to you, I said, let me do a little bit of research on breast cancer because it's not something that directly affects me, but my family members, you know. So I said, let me do some research. So what I have came across in which you are going, you know, you've been through what I'm about to say. The Mayo Clinic, I was reading a report from the Mayo Clinic, and the overview for breast cancer is a form of, you know, a form of breast cancer. It says after skin cancer, breast cancer is the most common cancer diagnosed in women in the United States.
Absolutely.
You know, because I know before the breast cancer, you had the skin cancer.
Absolutely.
So when were you diagnosed with that? Yeah, when were you
diagnosed with my first melanoma? Was stage zero or in situ, as they call it. I was diagnosed with that around March of 2017. So these came within a year of each other. I had, and initially they thought that one led to the other, and that wasn't the case. This melanoma was in 2017, yeah, around March, I think.
Okay. Because I just thought that when I was reading it, I was like, she had skin cancer previous to the breast cancer. I was like, okay, is this something related? Because I've never actually, you know, even thought in terms of that, you know, that it can follow after skin cancer.
Yeah,
because I know another
checked for the things with the melanoma too. I still get checked for both.
Okay.
Right now, so.
So okay, let's speak about the skin cancer real briefly. So with the skin cancer, what exactly? How did you find out that it was skin cancer? How did you, you know, what was the process for that?
I went to my doctor for a physical, and she noticed that I had some darkened moles, and to me they looked normal because I've always had them. But she said they're darker than they needed to be and that I needed to go to the dermatologist. So I got a referral, and I began my journey with my now dermatologist, who I see on a regular basis. When I went to her, she would check. They do full body checks, and they look even in your hair and in your feet to see if there are any darker moles. And she found some, and one of them was abnormal, but the other actually was cancerous. And like I said, it was stage zero, so they had to operate. But the process is, you know, you get your referral, always get checked. We, a lot of times as African Americans, don't think that we would be affected by melanoma and different skin cancers, that we think that we are totally out of that. And we're not. We're not, especially if we have heritage of various races and cultures, everything in our background, that's, you know, it's inherent. So that was
right. Then they say, you know, they say actually, I was also reading that white women and black women are diagnosed pretty much at the same rate, but black women are dying more often than white women. And like you said, I think that's more so a lot of times I think when we find out, we go into denial and we go into denial and thinking that we can possibly, you know, leave it up to God and, you know, say, you know, cure me, which, you know, prayer and everything is good. But on the other hand, we sit and we wait. And then once it gets too late, we go, or we just don't have the medical treatment or the medical insurance to even cover our costs. And I know that was one of the things that you were dealing with when you were going through your breast cancer was the medical cost end of it.
A lot goes into it.
And I was saying, and I, you know, I don't think people understand all the what everything goes into, especially the money piece. A lot of people, you know, I think on especially African Americans, like, if you don't have that $750 co-payment, what do you do? How do you get it? Do you just not get services? Or, you know, that's just one of, like, some people just don't have a bank account. Okay, my co-pay is $1,500.
Right.
They don't have that, you know, and I think that's some of the reasons why our rate is higher.
Absolutely. But one thing I want to say about that, and kind of shifting a little bit with the at least with the breast cancer piece, I didn't realize how many resources were out there either. And that was one of the things that I didn't know, that when you're going through treatment that they may be able to give you gas money. They may be able to give you assistance in your home while you're recovering, someone to come in and help you clean. They may be able to do – there's a lot of resources, some more financial – some more in just the basic needs of when you're going through treatment. But all of them, you know, people need to research. Don't just assume that there's nothing out there for them.
Right. So how did you find out, you know, particularly about these resources? Did someone tell you about it? Did your doctor inform you? How did you go about finding those resources?
When I found my resources, after I was diagnosed, kind of going back, In January of last year, I noticed a lump under my arm, and I went for my physical, and she went through the process, and I don't know how much you want me to go into that, but, you know, she sent me.
We'll get into it.
Yeah, but it ended up pushing me to all the doctors. So I started out with the doctors, and we have a cancer facility. We actually have two cancer facilities where I live here in North Carolina. So that's where they were able to tell me. They sit you down, and they give you the rundown of the resource, and they give you pamphlets and different books to read over, and they encourage you to go on different websites. So they really, you know, almost overwhelm you with resources. And I know everybody is, you know, their city is not like that, but, you know, there are certain areas that we don't even realize the resources that are there. If they ask a hospital, ask their physician, ask their children's physician if they don't have a doctor of their own, there sometimes are resources that are untapped in their areas.
Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know, because I know a lot of people, you know, they may not, you know, question or talk to counselors or anything like that to get that information, because we just sit back and just say, okay, the doctor told me this, but they don't ask no question. That's for
any type of ailment that you may have. It could be breast cancer. It could be heart disease. It can be liver. It could be anything. And people just take it upon themselves to just say, okay, the doctor said this, and not do their own type of research on how to get some funding for them, or how to get transportation, like you said, or how to get, you know, gas for your own car. And that's a really good thing to know, that there are resources out there, and each person should look in their state to see what they offer and get that information from their doctor or whoever is doing their primary care for whatever ailment that they may have. So I was looking at, like I said, I was researching some more statistics because I needed to, you know, need to know a little bit more myself. I mean, you know, every month you do your breast exam, you know.
Right.
And if you're not doing your own breast exam, ladies and men, please do so.
Absolutely.
That's very important to early detection. As like you said, I think you said you were in a shower.
And actually, so, I noticed I wasn't in a shower, but I noticed it under my arm. And, and that was really where it all started.
Yeah, so we need to pay attention to our bodies. I mean, you should know your body
know your
in and
body.
Out.
Love,
scars, bruises, everything. So anything that different, especially as we get older, we definitely need to pay more attention. But, you know, a lot of people, they also, you know, assume just breast cancer is just breast cancer. There are several different types of breast cancer.
Yeah.
Which type did you say you had?
Well, see, my journey's a little strange.
Okay.
Because I was not originally diagnosed with breast cancer. I was originally diagnosed with squamous cell carcinoma, because that was mine is one where they've never found any nodes or anything. They found things in my lymph nodes, but they never found anything in my breast. That resulted in a lot of different testing. My knowledge of what I have comes through molecular testing and genetic testing, not because they found anything. So actually what I was diagnosed with was metaplastic breast adenocarcinoma.
Okay.
That was through the molecular testing. But like I
now,
said,
is there a stage? What stage is that considered?
I'm actually in stage 3.
Okay.
And that's because it had moved to my lymph nodes. That's what makes it stage 3. When it moves, when it shifts, it becomes stage 3.
Now, I know you said you did genetic testing. Did you find out through that testing that it was hereditary?
Well, no. Okay, yeah. Well, actually, yes, with the genetic testing, but I found out it wasn't from my mother, so we only had to assume that again, my journey is a little strange. So
a little different, right?
Let me just do a little brief thing. So when I found out that I had the, because it's going to be hard otherwise. When I found out that I had there was something strange in my lymph nodes, and I was sent, and of course they go through the whole thing of the ultrasound, biopsy, and then they give you that initial diagnosis. The thing about this type with this cancer, even though it may change throughout the process, if you're initially diagnosed with squamous cell, that's what they continue to say. And so my process, they had to do MRIs, they had to do PET scans, they had to do several different types of testing to figure out what was going on, because they never found anything. There was no lumps. There was no, in my breast, there was nothing showing. And so I had to have molecular testing. I had to have genetic testing. The molecular testing is what showed the metaplastic breast adenocarcinoma. But then going from there, I learned that I was HER2 positive, and that is indicative to the breast. So then went from there and did the genetic testing, which showed the BRCA2 gene. And that's what showed even more that I was predisposed to breast and ovarian cancer.
Okay.
So that's where we got a little bit more into that as far as the genetic and finding out. Because my father was adopted, we had no history. And that's one of our other big issues that we didn't, because there was nothing in my mother's family. No one had ever had cancer. So it didn't make sense to any of my family members that I had it. I'm the first.
Right, and you know, I've known you, you know, we've known each other, you know,
all in all.
right, you know, we've known each other forever, so it's like, where did this come from? Because it's never been spoken upon in the family, so it's like exactly, you know, it goes back to also, you know, because my grandmother died, I want to say, colon cancer. Yeah, I want to say it was colon cancer. And it was real strange because we were thinking that she died at 56, I believe it was. And, you know, we were thinking the same, like, okay, how did this happen? Like, nobody had no clue. It didn't come from nowhere. And, you know, she didn't drink. She didn't smoke. She wasn't somebody that partied or do anything. She was a housewife that raised her kids. And I think it was just devastating because we were like, that was the first time of me ever hearing of cancer when I was like 11 or 13, somewhere around there. And I was like, what is that, huh? What? You know, so it was like, how did that happen? How did it not? And that experience, because she ended up, which I never really told anybody this story, but when she ended up going through her cancer and everything like that, she came to stay with us for a brief moment, and she pretty much stayed with us. My mom took her out the hospital for her to stay with us, and it's ironic because, like, I was the one to find her on my bedroom floor. She was trying to get to me, and I heard something fall. So when I heard, you know, I heard a big thump, I'm like, oh God, that's, you know, I think I was 13. I believe I was 13. And I was never like, what am I supposed to do with this situation? My mom was gone. It was the first time ever since my grandmother was sick that my mom left her side. The first time.
Wow.
And this was the first time. All this time she was at the hospital. She was at home. If she wasn't working, she was, you know, at our house, you know, at home taking care of her mother. So, you know, the first time she left, so I was like, okay, she's like, you know, my grandmother was still alert and everything, and she's like, okay, call the paramedics. And she told me right then and there, she's like, Dee Dee, I'm not coming back. I'm just letting you know that. So as a 13-year-old, you're looking like, what do you mean you're not coming back? I'll see you tomorrow. Or I'll see you in a couple of days or whatever, right? So you'll be back sleeping in your room. So that's probably a lot of people say I'm very standoffish or I'm very hardcore, but that's from that, because that lady right there was my heart. So I kind of don't let people get close to me for that simple reason. So most people don't know that about me. So then, you know, my mom, you know, she was at the hospital for the past couple of days, and then my mom went out 4th of July. You know, her mother told her, you know what, go out, enjoy yourself. It's a holiday. And my mom was only gone for a couple hours from the hospital. Again, I get the call that she passed away.
Wow.
Right. I get the call. I'm at home. So then, you know, I'm like, okay, got to, you know, call my mother and tell her, which was a whole nother situation. So that colon cancer, it just didn't resonate in our family. We still right now don't know. It's not genetic or anything like that. So we definitely have to be aware of our family backgrounds to see if we are, you know, have any of those, you know, have that in our family. So
but you have to also consider, too, with even with your grandmother, it's not just it's her mother and her father's side. That was
right.
About
and if
both
you don't
sides, you don't know.
And I don't know. That's the thing about a lot of I don't know. You know, it's one of those situations like I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask you a couple other questions real quick because, you know, I told you time would go by fast here. I told you that. So I know you have a great support system. You have your mom, your dad, your sisters, your brothers, your husband, and your kids and your best friends and us. You know, you have a great support system. What would you say for someone who don't have a support system? What do you think they should do? Where they should go to seek out, you know, some type of support for them going through their treatment process?
Honestly, that's one of the things I was saying about looking into the resources, especially in area resources. Whether it be churches, there's always or churches or local programs. There's always programs somewhere discussing cancer, especially breast cancer right about now. Looking into some of those resources, people have things all over the internet about what they're offering, just waiting for someone to take advantage of something. and you really just want to look into whatever resources are available and try to reconnect with people that you haven't had a relationship with. Build up your base. You need to have someone around you because this is no joke. Going through this, it was hard with a village. I couldn't imagine going through it alone. So, you know, find a connection, whether it be some people at work, be brave, have some courageous conversations with people. Try to see who may be going through something something similar, even if it's not similar. Your connections don't have to be someone who's going through the exact same thing. Just maybe someone who can sit with you, talk with you, share with you, help you to your appointments.
Now, let me ask for, like, you know, your mother, your wife, you know, for the mothers that's out there, how did you choose to share your diagnosis with your kids?
That was an interesting one. My husband and I sat, well, not really interesting. My kids are so aware. They know when things are not okay. So we met with the kids, and we have 5 children. So my husband and I sat down and talked to them, and we shared with them. We didn't try to scare them, but at the same time, we were honest. I let them know what I was going through and what they discovered. I let them ask questions. I shared that the doctor said that there is something in me called cancer, that I'm going to have to go through treatment. I'm going to lose my hair. And my youngest daughter was, she actually had seen some TV show. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a show where a little girl is going through cancer and her best friend cuts her hair with her. And she said, "Mommy, do you want me to cut my hair with you when you go through treatment?" It became a beautiful experience. It was emotional, but we just were really honest. But we also considered their ages. It was easier for some of our kids who were almost adults at that time than it was for our younger kids. But you consider your kids, you know your children, but you have to be honest because they have to know what to expect.
What were some of your, as a mother and a wife, what were some of your biggest challenges in going through your cancer treatment?
I needed more help. And I hated that. I had to give up some of that power. And actually, my husband and I sat down with the kids, and we said, "You guys are going to have to step up." I went through chemo from May to November, and I was sick a lot of the time. I was in pain. I was tired. Then went through radiation. I was tired. They had to step up. It kind of, you know, they became the young teenagers and adults that we knew that they could become. They just had to show what family was about, and that was how we encouraged it. That was the hard thing. But to relent that, to give that up and say, "My power's going, I've got to allow somebody to take care of me," the most important.
Right, which I seen when I was with you a couple weeks ago when I came down to visit. Oh, how you just don't want to give up that power, boy.
I hate it.
Like, sit your butt down, Corey. Didn't your doctor say, "Don't move"? You just told me your doctor said.
This thing changes your role. It changes the roles of your family. It takes you from being the person that they can depend on to the person who needs to depend on them, and that is not the natural progression, so it's not easy.
Right. And I know, like I said, it's like, you don't sit your butt down somewhere.
Hate it.
It's like, you know, like you were saying, your sorrows wanted to bring you dinner and bring you do food, you know, cook for your family. You kept telling them no and no and no. And, you know, when I was there that weekend, it was like a finally, yes, somebody bring me some food, you know. So you kind of like.
I needed the help.
And sometimes you just, And like I told you when I was down there, you just got to accept it right now. It's not something permanent, but, you know, right now you need the help. So when people are offering the help, because you're still going through, you know, your cancer and you done had a couple of surgeries done in the past few weeks also, so you're still going to continue probably to need that help for a little while longer. So like I said, don't do too much, you know, still relax.
I'm trying.
I know it's hard.
It's not natural. That's especially when you're a mother. It's hardest when that's your role. That's how you identify yourself. So when it changes, it's just hard. It's hard.
Right, and I know you do everything for the kids, from taking them, you know, from taking them to football, to dance, to cheer, to, you know, so you're, you know, and the role that you play in the community, too. So you do a lot in the community. You do a lot for your family. So that right there is totally understandable how, like, now you have to ask for help, or you need to get the kids to step up a little bit more. You know, your mom need to, you know, come and help you out, or, you know, things of that nature. Yeah. Where before, it was just automatically, you just got up. You would run from 6 a.m. to 10 o'clock at night without no problem.
That's it. All day long. That's what we did.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
That's exactly it.
So I told you this interview was going to go by fast. I appreciate you. I love you to death, and you know that.
I love you, love you, love
you. And you know I will be back down there at the end of February to see you, of course. As you see, I'm coming to see you a little bit more, because you always come home to see us. So I'm coming to see you. I've been down there, what, 3 times in the past year or so.
I love it.
So I will be back in February to see you. It is my birthday weekend, just to let you know. Like I said, I love you. I appreciate you.
I thank you
for coming on the show, the Create Your Own You show, to, you know, tell your experience and give hope to people who feel like they don't have hope right now.
Absolutely.
Again, this
you're
welcome. This is Mrs. Sadil Tanae Lloyd out of North Carolina. I want to say peace and blessings to everyone. And like I said, continue to create yourself to be the best you can. Live your life to the fullest. I live mine like a rock star. Have a great one. Thanks a lot.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.